Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of Less Talking, More Running, a podcast brought to you by Aycliffe Running Club. Now, on today's episode, I've got a new co-host today. It's club captain and good friend of mine, Richard Campbell. Thanks for joining us, Richard.
No problem, Corey. Thanks for having me.
You did say...
Thanking you, like, I might not be thanking you at the end, like, but we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. It'll go fine, mate. I've got full faith in you. We'll tell if you're invited back on or not. No, it's going to be good. Our guest for today, we've got Michaela, who joined us for, I think it was episode number 3, about women in running. Is that correct, Michaela?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Did you enjoy that last episode?
Enjoyed, one word for it. I kind of didn't too badly if I'm back again, so.
No, you're brilliant. I enjoyed having you on. We've also got a new first timer on today. We've got Kelly Tamar. Hello, Kelly. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you, Corey. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, one of the first questions we ask every first time guest on is how they got into running and how they joined Aycliffe Running Club.
I'm a new member, relatively new member. So I just joined last year, last August. I joined the running club. I was getting back into running on my own. I just generally run on my own. I'm really antisocial and I run at 6 o'clock in the morning when everybody else is still asleep. And I just wanted to get, I knew that over the winter, I wouldn't go out running on my own. It would be dark mornings and dark nights and I just would give in. So I thought I need to join a running club and that'll give me kind of a reason to go out and run. And then I'm committed. And Michaela and I work together. So I kind of mentioned this to Michaela. We both played netball for different teams and things and did a bit of running on our own. And Michaela kind of said, oh yeah, well, you know, if you go, I'll come along with you. And we came along to a few sessions and that was it. Really, really enjoyed it. Everybody made us feel really welcome. And I just thought, oh yeah, this is going to be really good. So I joined up and yeah, never looked back really. I've thoroughly enjoyed every session I've been to and it, you know, just gives me a reason to go out and run. And that's why I joined the club really.
Was there a reason why you chose Aycliffe, Kelly? I know obviously you've been from Bishop, there's running clubs such as Crook, Evenwood, obviously maybe is a little bit closer. Is there a particular reason? Did you hear about us from anyone?
I think the Facebook publicity really, I'd seen some things posted on Facebook that I'd sort of followed and liked and things. And with Michaela living in Aycliffe as well, that kind of prompted me to say, oh, well, you know, you can come along with me type thing and no. I wouldn't have to go on my own. And yeah, that was it really. And you know, you all made me feel really welcome when we came along to the first session. So yeah, that was the reason why really.
No, good.
Definitely joined the best running club in the area.
Absolutely, yeah.
100%. No brainer. Before we get onto today's topic, I best do the first clue of iconic runners. Who am I? Before I forget, I've got a habit of doing that. Clue number one is, this runner is a British former middle distance and long distance track and road running athlete. She won the gold medal for the 10,000 metres at the 1991 World Championships and the silver medal over the same distance at the 1988 Olympic Games.
Do you want to repeat that so I can write it down and Google it in a bit?
No, we'll have no cheat. Oh, okay, you're meant to be a teacher, no cheating. So today's topic, we're going to be talking about the benefits of running. That's the physical benefits, the social side, and also how it can help our mental health as well. So I found a nice little quote, which I think we can all relate to, is if you're feeling stressed out, lace up those running shoes and take them for a spin. Can anyone relate to that?
I think running is like one of the biggest stress relieving things that you can do. I know personally I'm quite a stressy person and I know about it if I haven't been for a run. One of my biggest like memories was my little boy was 3, have the most horrific meltdown after nursery when I went to pick him up one night horrific. Like, he was screaming, kicking, he wouldn't get in his car seat. By the end of it, I was crying, he was crying. My husband was in hospital at the time, so I had a good excuse not to go running that night, but I knew that I just needed to go running because I was that stressed out. So, you know, I called in my mum and dad for backup to go out and run because I knew I needed to just, like, burn off the energy and calm myself down. So I think, yeah, that's what you need to do if you're stressed out.
100%. Do you think running does that? Because you can kind of get into a rhythm when you're running. Like, you think about your breathing, you can, and other things, like your technique. And then suddenly all those things you were stressed about, without realising, you've kind of put them to the back of your head. Do you think that's how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're just not thinking about anything else apart from your run, where you're going, you know, how far you're going to go, how fast are you going, and things like that. Actually, maybe you do think about it a bit on the way around, but you sort of have time to debrief with yourself and have a conversation about what's gone on and, you know, do you really need to be that stressed out about it and things like that. So it probably works both ways, like not thinking about it, but also mulling things over and having an internal conversation with yourself.
I agree with Michaela. The main reason that I run is because it makes me feel good. And it just, yeah, I think it's a massive stress reliever. I run first thing in the morning. I get up, I go out, I run, or I do some form of exercise. And that just really sets me up for the day and kind of puts me in a good mood, really. And you know, makes me feel good for the rest of the day. And if I haven't done that, I definitely don't feel as good. I definitely feel, you know, maybe a bit sluggish, or kind of my brain isn't engaged as well. So the main reason I run is because it makes me feel good, definitely.
That's actual science, isn't it? You know, when you run, your brain releases the chemicals that make you feel better and make you feel less stressed. It's not just somebody saying, oh, go for a run, you'll feel better. It's like, it's genuine science. And just when I was looking over stuff for this, I did find that doctors are actually prescribing exercise as a treatment for depression because it scientifically makes you feel better, makes your brain happier.
Yeah, they do it in association with parkrun. They always say, the doctors, like, say you go to a GP and you want to talk about maybe some long lines of depression. You're right, they do subscribe exercise, and they've also said parkrun, go try it on parkrun. And as we talked about the benefits of parkrun in with Tracy in the last episode, it could be really beneficial. Kelly, I just want to ask you, how do you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go for a run? Have you always been able to do that, or is that just, have you just trained yourself over time?
Yeah, well, I have always been able to do that, but I've got better at it since I had children who get up very early on in the morning. I have always been that way. And I think it's just a routine you get yourself into. And I know now that routine makes me feel good and sets me up for the day. So I know that's what I've got to do now. And I've got two little boys and they're up really early in the morning now, so I have no excuse really to lie in. I'm up, so I might as well go out and run.
Well, fair play. I don't think I can ever do that. I know me and Richard, we went for a run yesterday with John Surtees to Hamsley Forest, and that, I think we left in the car about 8:15 and I was still asleep.
I don't think any of us were particularly up for that when we got there. You were very quiet on the way through, Corey.
Yes, I was, yeah. I even had a coffee as well. It made no difference to me whatsoever. So fair play, Kelly. Well done. I don't know how you can do that, but I can't.
I think with me as well, it has a lot to do with food. So I prefer to run on an empty stomach. I've run before, you know, haven't had breakfast and, you know, try to let it settle and what have you. And on a night, even on a night, coming to running club on a night, I can't have anything to eat because it just upsets my stomach. So I think that's what I prefer to do as well. I prefer to run on an empty stomach. So that suits me first thing on a morning.
Yeah, I'm completely the opposite there. I don't like, I've done the faster running on the morning and it doesn't suit me. I've just got no energy. I don't know. I hate it. But I'm quite lucky because I can run. after eating. It doesn't usually, I mean, I don't eat like big meals or anything, you know, but yeah, it doesn't really affect me having food. So no, but the morning's not for me. Not that early anyway.
Do you think there's any other ways running can help boost your mental health? Or like we've talked about the like in the endorphin rush, how can it alleviate any stress? Do you think it could help other people in any other ways?
I've written a few points down, just mainly to do with mine and Kelly's job. So we work in a school, children with additional needs, special educational needs, and we both teach children with autism and autism spectrum condition. And for those children, they have regular planned movement breaks. They need to move to help them concentrate, to help them engage, and to help them learn. So that's something that really I think everybody can take on board, and that again must be a scientific fact. You know, for everybody, that if you're moving and if you're active, then your brain is ready to learn and you can absorb more information and things like that. And on the same thing, I've been on training just recently before the pandemic, about active literacy and active numeracy, which again is the same principle, that they want children to be moving while they're learning. So you're not just sitting at a desk being talked to, you know, you're up running about and collecting letters, collecting numbers. You know, it's that sort of principle, because it gets you ready to learn and you're more engaged and you learn better. So I guess it's the same if you're running, you know, you're active, you're probably going to be more likely to learn, to, you know, to be concentrate, things like that.
Some very good points made there. Kelly, yeah. Have you got anything to add on the back of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michaela and I have done similar training and things in the past, and we have a similar kind of role in school. And I think if, you know, evidence has shown that if you physically do something, you will remember it more. If you're active and you're doing things and you're physically moving, you're more likely to remember that process than you are if you're just kind of stationary. So, yeah, I'd totally agree with Michaela, yeah.
The points that you've talked about, obviously the benefits that running and exercise can bring to your mental health, do you think that helps impact your daily life away from running? I know you've obviously both talked about the kind of jobs that you have, and that, do you think it helps with your everyday life and your home life? Do you think the health benefits that come from running help with that as well?
My 6-year-old runs and wants to do park run, and goes out running, wants to go running with me, wants to go running with his dad. So I think that the fact that I run and his dad runs kind of provides that positive role model for him, and, you know, shows to him that he needs to keep fit, and, you know, it's a good thing to go out running. And so I think that that's impacted on kind of my home life that way. It's hard to get the time actually to go out and run and do exercise and things. You know, me and my husband are always saying, you know, tag teaming, right, you go out here and then we'll swap over, you go out there. And so I think it does impact on your home life that way.
Yeah.
Everybody's busy, yeah, and just it's time to fit everything in. But I definitely think that, you know, running and exercise in general, it just gives you more energy to be able to, you know, to do your job effectively, to be able to run a home, to be able to, you know, take care of your family and see your friends. I'm certainly more sluggish and don't have as much energy if I haven't done any exercise or any running. So I think it, you know, it definitely gives you the energy to do that.
I think I've literally written exactly the same points down as you. So I had about like being a good role model, because we're the same, like I run, my husband runs, and we always do an exercise. And I think that's really important for the for our children to see that, you know, running's good and you need to keep fit and healthy. And then I'd put exactly the same thing about it. It's difficult to fit it in. However, when I have been for a run, I'm probably like a better parent because I'm not as stressed and I'm not likely to be as snappy. And then when we were looking at our jobs, I'd put exactly the same again. Like our job's quite a physical job. There's lots of running. You know, it's an active job, and running helps in that, because I couldn't imagine trying to do like my job, not being as fit and active as I am. I think
it's
hard work, massively hard work. And also it's quite a stressful job, so it gives us time to wind down and things. And especially like when I run with Kelly, and like we can just have a gossip about like work and you sort of deload everything, you know, it just helps. It's, you know.
Yeah, I think probably it's quite a lot of people have the sort of the same views as yourselves as well. I think anyone who runs, it surely must help them away from running. I know you talked about, I think one of you mentioned about, I think you said, Michaela, about being a better person after you've run. I'm definitely like that. Quite often, if I'm not planning on running, they're Don and Mike quite often tell me to go out and run. So I can get myself out of whatever mood that I've come home from work in. And but yeah, I feel it myself as well. Even if, you know, I've got a planned rest night, I'm climbing the walls by 6:30 because I don't know. I've never been very good at relaxing, and I think just that bit of time that it takes up of your night. Like I say, I don't relax very well. I don't wind down very well, and just being out of the house for that hour, just breaking that night up. Aside from any sort of running health fitness benefits I get from it, it's just the social aspect of it, taking it away, having more time, bit of time to yourself than that. Yeah.
I think it's time for clue number 2 of Iconic Runners, Who Am I? As well as winning the 1992 World Half Marathon Championship, they won the 1991 New York City Marathon, the 1992 Tokyo Marathon, and the 1996 London Marathon. Quite a stellar resume. Anyone got any early ideas?
No, I have no idea who anybody's name is. I can never remember.
Young. You know, I was quite young at your call, you know. 1992, I was only 12.
Mate, I wasn't even born yet.
No, I might need to message Dolly.
No help from Dolly. No, because halfway through clue number 1. That's why I make him do him, because he gets it straight away. So
Do you think running, especially maybe since joining up with the running club, has impacted on your social life too, and how you interact with people in a positive way?
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm like Kelly, I never really used to run with other people. I just used to run on my own. It's quite nice running with other people, learn something new. Yeah, just always gone out on my own. And the biggest thing that I've found is like crying off. So if I was running on my own, I'd be like, yeah, I'm definitely going to go out and do this, I don't know, 5K tonight. Get in from work, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely not going out to do this 5K. Come up with some excuse. However, if it's like a running club session and I've said to Kelly that we're going, and then I'll text Kelly and I'll be like, it's really raining out there, Kelly. Are you still going? And Kelly would be like, yeah, see you there at 7. And I'm like, oh, God, I've got to go.
So I remember one time, Michaela, we'd had our running club presentation, and obviously I know most people knew that I've been coaching you for a while before your injury, and I'd agreed that I would go out for a run with you the next day, and you actually messaged me that morning and said, oh, I've got a really bad hangover and that, you don't have to come over. And I thought, nah, bollocks to that. Yeah. You've got me up early. I'm not letting you get away with it. Exactly. I think there was an attempt to cry off there, but I thought, nah, if I'm up.
Accountability, yeah. Got no way out.
So Kelly?
Yeah, I'd agree with I'm just, you know, for years and years I've run on my own. I've run with a couple of kind of friends here and there, but kind of never really, you know, committed to anything, and you know, the same again. I think if you've said to that person, right, we're gonna go out and run at this time and this place, you've committed then, so you have to go and do it. Whereas, you know, for years I ran on my own and I would do exactly the same. Like, oh, you know, I'm not going to go now. Or, you know, it's raining, it's too cold, it's too dark and what have you. Think of all the excuses under the sun not to go. Again, that's exactly why I joined the running club, because I just, in my head now, I know that those running sessions are on and I'm going to those running sessions and I've committed to it. So definitely joining the running club has helped. And I, the first time I ever actually ran with other people was at Parkrun, at Hackworth Parkrun. I started to go there every Saturday morning, and that kind of got me used to running with other people. And, you know, it's a really good social side to it as well. And, yeah, coming to Aycliffe Running Club and talking to different people and running alongside other people, you know, it helps you as a runner, I think, as well. I'm really guilty of just kind of coasting along and, you know, I'll just jog here and jog there and what have you, and not pushing myself. So I feel like since I've joined Running Club, I've definitely pushed myself more, which I wouldn't have done if I was running on my own.
Yeah, no, definitely running with others definitely pulls you along. I mean, I'm the same. You know, if I go out on my own, I'm not too bad just to, like, plod around myself, like you said, Kelly, but trying to do, like, during lockdown, trying to do a session on my own is it's just a non-starter, really. You know, the intention's there, but once you start, but, yeah, definitely the running with people pulls you along. And I also think on the, personally, the social side, I think the friends you make as well, I think you sort of make quite, I mean, I've been in the running club quite a bit longer than yourselves. And there's a lot of people in the club now I would class as my friends. I'm not the most sociable person. Those who know me well know I'm pretty unsociable and maybe a bit miserable. But, yeah, I think you can make good friends with people that you probably never would have mixed with previously when you've got that sort of common bond of running. I think that's a really good part of it. Aside from the health benefit, mental health benefits, physical benefits, I think, if you can make friends with someone, I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, the running club definitely provides, I think, just the whole running community. Like when you turn up to local races, everyone knows each other and you're like, you're catching up with people. I think the whole environment we have in our local running community is absolutely brilliant. And you're right, Richard, you make friends, but you also make friends for life. I feel
that's
the vibe you get. Pretty much as soon as you turn up to your first training session at the club. And I know you guys have mentioned it straight away, how everyone feels so welcome the first time you turn up. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. We've talked a lot about... Well, actually, no, Richard, we didn't discuss this before, but we've had a few new members join. And I think it might be a good time to kind of highlight some of the social events or some of the... social activities we do after some races we do throughout the year. If you want to highlight some of them, mate, I know the one off the top of my head is the Ravenstonedale.
Yeah,
the pubs after that.
I think they all mainly revolve around drink and don't they? Obviously, at the moment they're all on hold for a while during COVID. But yeah, we do a couple of times a year. We do try to put on a. Well, we don't put the races on, but we try to organise bus trips for various races. Like you said, Ravenstonedale's been a one for a couple of years now where we've ended up in pubs afterwards. I think we did for Dentdale once. There was loads of us then. It was a coach load. There must have been about 40 of us nearly crammed into this pub. And it is quite good ways to wind down afterwards. And you know, I think most of the club enjoys a drink. It's always... talked about that we're a drinking club with a running problem. And there's also, there's Des's famous half pint, half marathon, which I've never actually took part in fully on my own. I've sort of joined in halfway and we're drinking half a pint of, well, whatever you want, really. If you were going to do a spirit, I think you're going to be struggling. Although I think Richard Holland once did rum. I'm not sure if it was half a pint of rum, but in 13 pubs. So, yeah, it's 13 halves in 13 pubs over 13 mile. And it seems to go down really well. Like I say, I've never done the full lot myself. But, yeah, a lot of it's drinking. And Des, of course, has done his Chunder Mile as well very recently that new members won't have heard about, which is, again, another drinking challenge. Where you're drinking a pint after every lap of an athletics track, so after every 400 metres, you're drinking a pint and then trying to run again on it. Again, I've never took part in that, but I think the effects are... I don't even need to explain what can happen to Yeah, after try to drink a pint of anything and then start running again. So yeah, mainly drinking up to now. But we're always looking out for other ideas for social events. I know Sam and Ian Baranowski became our social secretaries. I can't think of the right name for it. At the beginning of the year, and they did have some quite good ideas, but again, I know they'd started, I think it was mentioned on the last podcast about parkrun, that they were starting their parkrun tourism, but obviously that got knocked on the head after I think one because of COVID, and they did have some other ideas, some quite good ideas. So yeah, hopefully if we can get a grip on this pandemic, we can get back to a few more social events. Would be good.
Yeah, definitely. Bugger to COVID-19 for ruining all those good ideas. I was speaking to Ian before the pandemic, and he was naming a few good ideas, and I was always looking forward to that. I won't give anything away.
No.
Do you think, Kelly, you could do the half marathon, half pint challenge?
Oh, definitely. I'm well up for that.
Yeah. Michaela?
Is there a time limit on it? I could probably do it, but I couldn't guarantee how long it'd take me.
No, it's not time limit. It's just till we finish. It's all kept together. It's not. Some might get a bit competitive. I think Des and former member George Dixon did attempt to do it quite quick. I think each mile in between, they were trying to run each mile at under. I don't know if it was just under 7 minutes. I think they were trying to do it quite pacey. But I'm not sure how long that lasted for, to be honest.
It makes my belly feel gurgly, like thinking about running with all that in it. Oh.
I think I'd have a few toilet stops on the way as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. If it's like, because I know Des does it from, I only know the new route. What's the old route? Oh, the current route, Richard, where did you start off at?
I know it's just over Darlington somewhere. I know he always started somewhere. Like I say, I've never been at the early stage. I joined, I think last year I joined at the Gretna, which was fairly late on. I think it was only a couple of pubs. And I never ran to any pubs either because we had the car. Well, I'd done something else, and I can't remember exactly. We couldn't make it earlier on, or I bottled it or something. I don't know, but
bottled it.
We weren't drinking and driving. Just get that across. We weren't drinking and driving. We took the car, and the car got left at a pub, and then, yeah, but I did make a few. Just about the joining in, you know.
So we've talked a lot about the social and mental health benefits. I think it's only right we touch on some of the physical ones as well. I know in episode 6 about the injury prevention, Ryan and Andrew highlighted stuff such as greater bone density, joint strength and muscle growth, especially when you do the S&C. Does everyone do their S&C? Everyone's strength and conditioning?
I'm injured.
It is very important. But since taking up running, have you felt the physical health benefits, Michaela?
Yeah, obviously I am injured. If you didn't know that already, everybody, I'm injured. Apart from that, before I was injured, I was getting fitter. I was running faster. I was running better. That's obviously good for your lungs, your heart, your body. Probably the amount I eat, I would have been a lot heavier if I wasn't running. That's one of the reasons I like to run, you know, so I can eat bad foods, not worry about it so much, not feel so guilty. And just having like more energy, more motivation to do things. Like Kelly said, a lot of times not feeling so sluggish and things like that. It's obviously having good, you know, benefits to my physical health, or was.
I think running's definitely helped my kind of lung capacity as well. I mean, just recently we did the Walker Lane hill session, and on kind of the first hill, I thought I was going to die. I thought I was having a heart attack. I couldn't breathe. But then once I'd done, and I think I said to Paul and done it, like, I can't breathe. But then once I'd done the first hill, that was it. I think, you know, my lungs had opened up and I'd kind of warmed up a little bit, and I found it much easier after that. Whereas before coming to the running club, you know, I absolutely hate hills. I hate them. But I think I don't like them now I've come to the running club, but I certainly find them easier than I did. And I think it's because I can breathe more easily now. Whereas before I joined the running club, I think I just, you know, I couldn't breathe going up a hill and really struggled. So I definitely think running's helped my lung capacity.
Do you think since taking up running on a regular basis, do you think you've maybe been less ill over that course of period? I know for me, when I was a bit younger, I was coming down with the cold on a more regular basis. But ever since I started running, I felt like my immune system's got stronger. I don't know how you guys feel about that, Michaela, maybe?
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought about it until you mentioned it. But yeah, I very rarely am ill. And we work with a lot of bugs and a lot of germs. We would normally pick things up pretty quickly. But yeah, you're right. I think I can count maybe only once that I've had a cold in, I don't know, the past year and a half, something like that. So yeah, it must do. And I would never have linked it with that, though. I would never have thought, oh, it's because I'm more active because I'm running, because, you know, I would never have linked that at all. But yeah, I think it's a good point and it could be true.
I think a lot of it's to do with being outside as well. You know, I'm a big believer that, you know, going outdoors and just being outside in general helps with your immune system and building up your immune system. So I think running outside definitely helps as well.
Yeah, I just agree, really. I mean, I'm very rarely unwell, although I sometimes do feel, I know a few members will probably agree with me on that because I've spoken to them about it, where definitely you have a stronger immune system. But I think it's a proven fact that running as well, if you're training quite hard, it can suppress your immune system a little bit.
Yeah.
You do pick up the odd little sniffle here and there. It never really lasts really long or materialise into anything. But I think John Burnside used to always say it. I used to say, oh, I feel like I've maybe got a bit of a cold. And he would say, oh, you haven't got a cold, you're just fit. And it's, you are a little bit suppressed in your immune system, that you maybe do feel a little bit sniffly now and again, it doesn't really materialize into any kind of illness. But I definitely think it does suppress your immune system slightly, particularly, like I say, if you're in very sort of hard training and that. So it is something you've got to manage carefully as well at the same time. It certainly doesn't make us invincible because we run. But yeah, definitely, you know, the health benefits, I think it's never ending, the positives that can come out of it.
Yeah, you make a very good point there, Richard. And I think that's where recovery, letting your body recover. Because what you're doing when, I think I mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, just in case I didn't, that when you are training, your fitness levels do, after the session, initially drop. You are kind of damaging your body, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then if you let your body recover, your body then overcompensates. And then that's when you become fitter and healthier. But you have to manage that over the course of your training very carefully, because if you go too deep into the red danger zone, so to speak, that's when you get injuries. That's also when you become susceptible to illnesses, just little ones like the cold. And if you do that on a, if you don't manage it on a regular basis, then long-term health issues could come of that. So, Richard, you are right in mentioning that.
Yeah. So I think that moves us on to our next question, really. So since we've highlighted the benefits of running, do you think there is any more possible negatives to regular running? Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
So I obviously being injured, but...
Are you injured?
I am injured. But I do think that... obviously, that's your physical health is damaged, but I do think it affects your mental health as well. Like, I've got the worst Strava envy, and it's ridiculous. But, like, if you look on Strava and you see people are running, everyone's been out doing the virtual Great North Running, you're amazing, and it's fantastic. But I'm like, fuming at the same time, because, you know, I can't run anymore, and people are getting faster and getting better and getting their miles in, and you're sat at home and you're not able to do it. So that does affect your mental health, like, you know, being injured.
Definitely. If I'm like, touch wood, I haven't suffered from many injuries recently, but if I am out or I can't run for whatever reason, I can't bring myself to look at Strava, because it's just, I may as well just uninstall it from my phone, because, yeah, like you said, it drives you mad, because you're just envious of everyone else that's out there doing it. Kelly?
I don't think there are any negatives to regular running at all. I don't. Well, I have maybe one thing. I don't know. I've maybe mentioned this to you before, Richard. I think if you're constantly running on concrete and on the roads, and I know it's your favourite style of running and it's my least favourite style of running, just running on the roads all of the time and on the concrete, I just think it's too pounding on your joints. I just think you need to vary it up a little bit, or I certainly do. My knees really suffer, and ankles, if I'm just pounding kind of the streets all of the time. So I suppose that's a bit of a negative to regular.
Yeah, absolutely. So what Corey spoke about a little bit, that you sort of, if you're going to be constantly running, then you've got to be really careful, because you are going to get yourself injured eventually if you don't manage yourself properly. And that's what I would say for a negative. If you go down that overtraining path, then you're going to end up injured, and then it's not a very happy place to be when you're injured. Like Michaela said about seeing other people doing so well, it literally drives you up the wall. I agree with that. Although I am mixing it up now, I'm a bit of a trail runner now. You know, I've bought some trail shoes and. No, I did start doing a little bit of trail running in during COVID, just like during lockdown when we couldn't train with the club, just to break it up. So I am slightly moving into enjoying the trail a little bit more now.
I have noticed, Richard, that when we're doing a warm up, I might be running a path and you're like running alongside me on the grass.
Yeah.
I've noticed that recently.
Yeah, well, I got that from Des, because I know Des does a lot of that when he does his runs and that. He'll try and run on grass verges where he can, rather than run on the road. I think it does have quite a lot of good benefits. It's certainly for strength and balance, mobility in your joints and that. It's certainly better for you than running on the road. You get more benefits from it, but I think I'll always prefer to be for racing anyway. I'll always be faster on the road than I would be on trail, but it is good for you. I am starting to enjoy it a lot more now.
The other negative thing I had was losing your non-running friends. Like, as soon as you become a regular runner, and you go on and on and on and on about your miles, and you did this run, and you've bought these trainers, and you've got this watch, and you did this minute mile, and then your non-running friends are like, yeah, shut up. Like, they just don't care.
I don't understand. They don't know the difference between a fast mile and a slow mile.
No.
Yeah. Non-runners. Two questions from a non-runner. Have you done the Great North Run? Have you done the London Marathon? And if you answer no to both of those, then you may as well. You're not a runner to them. You don't know what the point of it is.
No. No, we are a special kind of breed, aren't we, us runners?
Definitely.
I'd never thought I'd end up being like that, but I am. I don't know how you guys feel. Michaela, you just mentioned it. Do you think you will ever turn out like that?
No, not at all. And there's like a meme on Facebook of, I don't want to use a swear word, but like it's a runner, and they've got like all the kit, you know, like your buff, your Garmin watch and all this. And I laughed at it at one point, and then my husband showed me it about a couple of weeks after I joined running club, and he was like, you have literally turned into this meme. You are one of those. But no.
Well, Michaela, I think... didn't we both say that we were going to stop playing netball because it was getting too expensive?
Yeah.
Then we joined running club. Oh, we'll go to running club because it's free. And it's free to run and what have you. And then we bought a watch, and then we bought some training.
The technology.
10K, that one's only cheap. We'll enter that one, then we'll enter this race. Yeah, it's not cheap, is it?
Yeah. No, not if you go into all the technology and stuff like that. And like you say, the trainers' footwear can be quite expensive. Yeah, they always say it's free. It's free to do, but maybe it's not entirely free.
No, I don't even want to know how much I spend a year on races. I don't care. I just want to go back on the social media point you made about Strava, and I think that's very important, because even just with normal social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, people only put certain parts of the life, mainly the positive ones, and that's the perception you get. They're living kind of this perfect life, and that is kind of the same on Strava in a way. People, I put up all my runs, and but to start off with, I always felt like I had to run a certain pace to look impressive or whatever, and I think that could be quite detrimental. Is that the kind of the point you were making as well, Michaela?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. That's it. You need to have a good run on there, because everyone's going to give it kudos. So if you have a bad run, you might not put it on. You're right.
I'll put it on, Michaela. Just follow me. Look at my run. I don't mind.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be the case. Oh, so go on, Michaela.
I was going to say, I put my walks on now, because that's, you know, what I do. So I put my walk on the other day, but what it didn't show is the fact that my four-year-old had a meltdown halfway around. The dog wouldn't come back and started fighting with this big dog. So I was shouting at him, shouting at the dog. I ended up carrying the bike home, like dragging it. Do you know, it was quite horrific, but you don't know that from Strava. I had a lovely, pleasant evening walk, according to Strava.
Richard, have you got anything to add on social media and Strava?
Yeah, I mean, everyone falls into that trap of thinking it has to look impressive if it goes on Strava. I used to be like that myself. You start titling your runs up saying it's like a steady run, when it wasn't actually a steady run, but you think somewhere you might be impressing somebody, thinking, oh, he thinks he's going steady there, but he's knocking out 7-minute miles. And yeah, I kind of don't do that anymore now. I just leave it as morning run or evening run. Title my sessions. But yeah, I think people try to sort of justify themselves a lot on it, and so I know people like Donna left Strava for a while because she felt like she was getting judged, and it was a bit much. I mean, no one was actually saying anything to her, but it's just the pressure of not wanting to upload a slow run, like Michaela said. And I think it was talked about on the podcast about technology, and I know like Tracy Surtees, she won't come back to Strava now because she had a period where she felt too much pressure putting her runs up there and everyone seeing. And it's a shame that people end up like that. But yeah, social media, it has negatives, doesn't it?
Yeah. Nobody should ever feel like that. You know, we've already said that running ultimately makes you feel good, keeps you fit, and it's for your mental health. So
yeah,
feel like that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes it's best just going back to basics. Don't even sometimes just forget your watch, leave it home, plan a route in your head, and just go out and just run off feel, run off what your body's kind of telling you. That's what I wish I do sometimes, but I always bring the watch.
It didn't happen if it's not on Strava. How we get with it?
I know. That's what they say. I know what they say, but I just do a manual upload afterwards. I think it's time for Iconic Runners clue number 3. This person won the BBC Sports Personality of the Year award in 1991. I can give one extra clue.
Let's say, was that it? All right.
No,
was it was it a female? Did you say she earlier on?
Yeah.
So I'll round up what we've mentioned so far. So she's a 10,000 meter world champion. And she also has got an Olympic silver medal from the 1988 Olympic Games. She's won numerous world major marathons, including London in 1996. I'll specify she's Scottish.
Right, yeah, I think I've got it now.
She's Scottish. Donna,
yeah.
Liz McColgan.
Liz McColgan.
Yes.
Well done.
I thought it was just before the Scottish, but I didn't want to jump in there in case I humiliated myself. But yeah, I'm quite pleased with that, actually. I got it.
Yeah.
Well done, Richard.
Well done, Richard. Yeah, the other clue I was going to go with was about her daughter.
Yes.
She's doing very well.
Very good, yes.
Yes. But just before we wrap up, has anyone got anything else to add that they may have missed out from before?
I don't think so.
No, I think good.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming on. And just before I end the podcast, the podcast is now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I finally got them uploaded to both those social media platforms, as well as our club website. And I would like to put a shout out to my friend Sophie Millington for doing the design for the podcast. So thank you very much for that, Sophie. Thank you for listening, everyone. And thank you guys for coming on.
No problem. Thank you very much.